The following Dharma talk was recorded in March 2015 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of eight recordings from the retreat called The Four Messengers and the Message, taught by John Yaffe and Bridget Rollins. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. John Yaffe began practicing insight meditation in 1999 and has been a co-leader of St. Louis Insight Meditation Group since 2006. John is a student of Matthew Flickstein and has served on the Mid-America Dharma Board of Directors since 2005. Bridget Rollins has practiced insight meditation since 1997. Her mentors include Matthew Flickstein, Ginny Morgan, and Gloria Terania Ambrosia. Recognized by the Spirit Rock Teachers Council as a community Dharma leader, Bridget shares the Dharma through classes, workshops, and retreats.
So as we go into our second meditation of the morning, the second one on the topic of Third Foundation, I don't know that I have instruction to offer as some reflections before we actually begin the sit. We had a question on the bulletin board asking about ways to work with images that arise during meditation. And a slightly broader experience of that same question is how to work with anything, you know, the things that come up, thoughts or emotions that come up. And in Third Foundation work, this is indeed what we're looking at. There's a couple of different ways to be with it. You can acknowledge it and in a sort of minimalist way, and then get back to the breath as sort of an exercise, a training in non-attachment and acceptance. And at the same time, there are times when these things are very insistent. And I find in my experience that you can shift and allow those things to be the topic of the meditation for at least a brief time. It become a focus, the new object of concentration. And you can sort of open up and give it a lot of space to be whatever it is. Occasionally, out of this will come an insight. There'll be a burst of discursive thought while you're observing something. And you can, at that point, either reflect on it or just kind of set it aside and trust that it'll, you know, you'll be able to access it later and give it some time and go back to your meditation. I'll give you just a simple little example of this. I was in a sitting one evening when, for whatever reason, the mind was just very, very agitated, much more so than is usually the case for me. And it transcended any topic. I wasn't agitated about a particular issue. It was just raw restlessness. And I kept saying, you know, sort of trying to push it away, come back to the breath. I'm here to be calm and mellow. And it kept reasserting itself. So finally I said, you know, I'm sure there was a little bit of fine in my opening to it, but there was an opening to it. And I said, fine, I will just dwell, or I'll just open myself to this restlessness, and it will become the subject, at least for now, these moments of the experience. So as, you know, deep in, you know, in my conditioned mind that was decided, okay, now that I'm paying attention to it, it will go away, of course. And that's not what happened. Instead, it got more and more active, more and more vivid. And it got to the point where it's like I was watching 1,000 lines of light dancing. It was like watching molecules in motion. And this discursive thought came to mind on the order of, this is insane. I cannot manage every molecule in the universe. And then there was this, oh, who was that speaking? So somewhere in there, I was describing it to someone. I was like, not so much. This wasn't so much me as one of the Legos I stepped on. If you remember the Lego discussion earlier, that, yeah, somewhere in there, there's in all of us, there is all of us. There's everything you're ever going to encounter in terms of the spectrum of humanity. What I happened to encounter then was this clear megalomaniacal urge to control everything down to the molecular level. And once I could see it, I could laugh at it because it was kind of crazy. But if I hadn't opened to it, if I hadn't taken that little journey, then I wouldn't have known that lunatic was in there. And I wouldn't have been able to have said, okay, I saw your dance. Now, you know, at some point you're welcome to leave the stage. And that's what happened, you know. So, but I left there knowing, you know, okay, that's something to keep an eye out for. Because there's that guy in there that would like to just wrap it all up in a big box. So that's just a little example of, you know, by allowing things to take center stage, we get to not only see what's there, but see what's there by way of our conditioned reactivity to it. And seeing it, we can be wise about it. You know, this is wholesome, this is unwholesome. And then we can go back to the breath. Another comment is that these little discursive thoughts that come to mind, they each have a rationale. I mentioned, you know, I was giving the story of Suddhodana, the Buddha's father, and explaining how he could rationalize all of these decisions he made. And we talked about that in other examples as well. So what happens is an experience arises, and then a sankhara, a mental formation about it that has some sense of I, me, and mine comes into play. And when we're not observing this wisely, when we're not seeing clearly, what tends to happen is another one jumps on top of it. Because this is so, because I'm not challenging this thought and taking it to be real, taking it to be permanent, taking it to be about me, once it's about me, there's another about me thought that's going to jump in the scene, and another, and another, and another. And those tend to layer up and become very, very strong by virtue of being cross-laid. It's like the thin little sheets that make up plywood. You know, each little sheet is nothing, and you could snap it with no effort at all. But you layer 20 of them down, and you've got something that's very imposing and covers a big, broad area. That's the way our thoughts are. The other thing is that part of that layering works because of the speed with which it happens and the way each thought sticks to the other. And mindfulness, when we bring mindfulness to the awareness of that, slows down the process and sort of dissipates the glue that layers them together. So that, you know, with the very first thought or with the very second or the second thought, you can say, oh, that's a bunch of selfing going on. And at that point, it drops. It loses its energy because the next thought doesn't have the justifying rationale behind it that it takes to jump on top and start that layering process. So in the mindfulness of mental formations, we have simultaneously the slowing down of the overlaying tendencies of thoughts. And we have the ability to see more and more clearly, which is to say, we know the nature of what we're seeing, and we are quicker to recognize what we're seeing. So even if the thoughts don't slow down, we're on top of them more quickly and can recognize them for what they are, which, because it's creating a little distance between us and the story that's being told, lets them fall apart or not get laid down. So that's what we're doing for ourselves. Clear seeing feeds and cultivates more clear seeing. So let's do a little bit of that.